really excited to share with you tonight a message that I am confident God has for us. I believe that each of us will leave with a specific invitation from the Lord as we go into individual prayer time. But first, how about a joke? What is Godzilla over at a restaurant? Well, the restaurant, of course. It's funny to me how much of our lives revolve around food, right? When we'll eat, what we'll eat, where we'll eat, and who we'll eat with. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across this little phrase in the book of Luke that I hadn't noticed before, where Luke, referring to Jesus, says, he came eating and drinking. So it seems Jesus' life, similar to ours, revolved around meals in many ways as well. Tonight, I want to invite us to reconsider our framework for viewing food. This is prayer and fasting, right? So first, thank God for food, right? My dad would just be so proud to hear me say that. Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Food is a part of God's expressed goodness to us. And not just for sustenance, or I suspect he would have skipped the taste buds. Do you know the average person has 10,000 taste buds and they renew every 2 weeks? So surely he had our enjoyment in mind, right? What would it be like for us if every time you tasted food, we saw the goodness of God? So tonight we're going to explore this new framework with a focus on fasting. Not fasting that's intermittent for the sake of weight loss or as a spiritual flex or as a chore. Pastor author John Mark Comer says this, fasting is one of the most powerful and essential spiritual practices and is arguably the single most neglected in Western culture. So if this is new to you or it's been difficult for you, you're in great company. We think 2-3% of Christians in America practice fasting. As I dive in, I want to acknowledge that this topic can come with an emotional trigger to pain if you have experienced disordered eating or have hard stories with body image or your bodies. If that's you, there's no pressure here, and I'm confident there's an invitation from God for you tonight as well. Okay, fasting is woven into the story of the scriptures. There are over 70 examples of fasting in the scriptures, starting in Exodus 34, when Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he has the scripture, so no bread or water for 40 days, and then he records the Ten Commandments. Fasting expresses our humility and our need for God. In Mark 9, Jesus taught that this kind of spiritual breakthrough, he was referring to casting out demons, only comes through prayer and fasting. Fasting increases our spiritual authority and equips us for spiritual battles. Hannah fasted and prayed in deep anguish for a child, and God answered with Samuel, who would become a great prophet. Her story reminds us that fasting amplifies the prayers of a desperate heart, like my Lily spoke about earlier in the week. In Esther 4, when the people were at risk of disaster, Esther called for a 3-day fast, and the people were safe. Fasting leads to freedom. There's so many more stories. Basically, every character in the Bible fasted, and the early church leaders fasted as well. Most often, they would fast twice a week from sunup to sundown. We learn from their stories that fasting allows us to grow in holiness and stand with the poor, that it forms us and honors God, and that it puts us in touch with our weakness, which is right where our God gets started. Fasting is not only a spiritual practice in theory, it's deeply connected to how God created us biologically. Get this, I learned this from Nick. There's a part of your brain called the anterior mid-cingulate cortex, which we could call our no muscle. This is a part of the brain that's responsible for self-control and resisting impulse. So I like to call it the I can do hard things guilt cortex. or we'll just call it the I can do hard things muscle. Whenever we fast, we're training our I can do hard things muscle every time you say no to food or whatever it is that we're abstaining from. And in doing so, we strengthen our ability to say no in other areas of our lives. I find this so encouraging. I'm not just like theoretically growing in self-control and patience and resilience and perseverance. I am biologically, as I'm fasting, growing in those things. Think about Jesus in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days, and when Satan tempted him, he resisted. And then emerging from his fast, he was equipped to deny evil, walk in the power of the Spirit, and defeat death. So in fasting, we're strengthening our ability to say no to sin and to say yes to God. Okay, let's think about food more broadly for a minute here. How do you relate to food? We're going to evaluate. Is it something to control or indulge in? Or is it a chore or maybe even an idol? Do you justify overindulging by calling it a cheat day or even plan for overindulgence in that way? Let me just say, I am capable of cooking with food when it's too hot, too cold, like too happy, too sad, or I have a bad airbag. What if we saw food differently? Paul reminds us that our bodies are temple, the Holy Spirit. Hear this if you hear nothing else. Your body is a dwelling place for God. And we're instructed to do everything as they unto the Lord. So even how we eat can, and I would suggest, is intended to be an act of communion with God. All right, so here's what I've been kind of ruminating on for the past few months. I'm going to introduce this framework, three categories within which I want to invite us to see our meals. And none of them involve the word cheat day, okay? The purse, you want to guess? Fasting, good guess, Cooper. The second is feasting. Feasting is also holy. Throughout the scriptures, God's people celebrated with food around a table. It reminds us of his abundant goodness, and it connects us to one another. And the third is ordinary fare. Most of our lives happen between fasting and feasting, right? These moments where we just have regular meals to nourish us, and it reminds us of God's provision and faithfulness through literal daily bread. So the invitation here is not just to consider how to incorporate regular rhythms of feasting and fasting, but also wonder with God what it looks like to honor him with our ordinary meals. What if we had a rhythm of fasting on Mondays, feasting on Fridays, and the rest of the week, we chose the foods that best nourish Gamma's habitat? The average person will spend 32,098 hours of their lives eating. That's well over 3.5 years. So let's not miss this time of tasting and seeing God's goodness. Amen? In Joel 2:12, the Lord urges us, return to me. But that's not the whole phrase. He says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting. Above all else, fasting is a way we offer ourselves to God. Food is a lifelong journey for us. I was raised in a restaurant by parents, Paninos. And as soon as I could sit up in a high chair, they would take me to work, they would run the restaurant, and they'd put me in one of those little play unit things on wheels with the tray and give me pepperoni, black olives, and oyster crackers. And they'd tie it with a little rope to the high hand sink. True story. Fasting has been a part, eating has been a part of my story and yours since the beginning, and it will be until the end. Now, fasting is likely newer to most of us. I've practiced fasting mostly out of obligation or to participate in the church calendar for the last 12 or so years.
The reason I'm so excited to share this with you tonight is because something has shifted that I feel like the Lord wants us all to partake in. First, it does actually get easier and even enjoyable. And second, in Matthew 6, Jesus is talking about not fasting as virtue signaling. And then he says, when your Father who sees what is done in sees what's done in secret, he'll reward you. I used to think that the reward from fasting was this eternal thing that eventually I would get to when I have a resurrected body. But what I am learning and experiencing and deeply hope for, all of us, is that there is also this present reward that takes place as we hunger and thirst for God. There is a gift for you in fasting. So as we move into a time of individual prayer, I want to encourage you to consider a couple of questions. There are three. First, if this touches a pain point in your story, how might the Lord be inviting you to respond today? Maybe it's reaching out for counseling for the first time, telling a pastor or a trusted friend. Second, we have 2 days left of corporate prayer and fasting. How might God invite you to participate in fasting in these last 2 days? And lastly, how might you honor God with a weekly rhythm of fasting, feasting, and ordinary fear? Let me close us with a quote from St. Basil the Great. Even that's a food name, right? As a prayer. Would you pray with me? Fasting gives birth to prophets. It strengthens the powerful. Fasting makes lawmakers wise. It's a safeguard for the soul, a statement into the body, a weapon for the brave, a discipline for champions. Fasting knocks over temptation, anoints for godliness. It is a companion sobriety and a crafter of the sound mind. Jesus, we pray you would speak to us in this time and transform us into your likeness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.